Without my glasses on, I'm kind of like Mr. Magoo. With these glasses on, I can see. I can see y'all fine without them, but up close, I can't see nothing. You might know I ought to get on a pair of pants that ain't got a handkerchief. About every one of them got a handkerchief in the back pocket. I got one here, brother. I'm going to clean these glasses off just a little bit. But me and Abe was talking about Bibles before y'all got here this morning. We was talking about big print and small print. I said, these right here make them all big print. This makes it look like I'm looking at a billboard. Amen. 300 power magnifying glasses. Acts chapter 16. I was directed in this direction for this morning. I've done learned obedience better than sacrifice. And I want to obey God in every capacity that He would have me. Anything whatsoever that I could do. But Acts chapter 16, and again, like I said, I wrote down a few jots and tittles here. But we're going to read verse 25 through verse 34, and then I'll stop and we'll go to God in prayer. But Acts chapter 16, starting in verse 25, it says, "And at midnight," and one of those songs that Paul and Silas sent it that Brother Jerry sung in the congregational singing. And when he sung that song about Paul and Silas, I thought, well, this may be exactly what God had in mind for today. Amen. And, you know, we know in part, we see in part. You know, we might miss sometimes, but we always try to aim. But at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. And he called for a light, and he sprang in, and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, brought them out, and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God, with all his house. We'll stop our reading right there. And I want to preach today a message called Jailhouse Rock. Pray with me. Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for the privilege to stand for the Word of God. Lord, the songs that's been sung this morning. Lord, the testimonies. Lord, even me and Brother Harvey talking about how things have changed for the worse instead of for the good. The day and hour we're living in, Lord, a lot of things have changed. A lot of things, Lord, have fell by the wayside. A lot of churches, Lord, are Ichabod, the glory's departed. A lot of churches, Lord, the light's flickering in. But I thank you, Lord, for this church, Lord. It would have the high praises of God upon it. I thank you for the singing. I thank you for the shouting. I thank you for the spirit that's here, Father, even this morning. Lord, we ask for your blessings. We ask for your help. Confess, Lord, our inability to do anything apart from you helping us. And we'll give you the praise and glory for anything that is done. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I titled this message on purpose, Jailhouse Rock. The song, Jailhouse Rock, wrote by Elvis Presley. A lot of people don't know this, but Elvis Presley loved the gospel. He loved the Lord. He wanted to sing the gospel. He didn't want to sing rock and roll music. And before the world made him an icon, before the world made him the king of rock and roll, his heart was chasing after God. No money in singing the gospel, and I guess he had several reasons for compromising. But one thing I will say about Elvis, I'll give out a rose right here. was at midnight he would slip away with the Blackwood brothers and with the other singing group he'd sing with the Blackwood brothers and the Oak Ridge boys, and they'd sing all night long.
Oh, yeah.
All the way to daylight, they sing gospel songs. He loved it. He wanted to sing nothing but gospel songs, but there was no money in it. There was no future in it. And you know, he kind of got used in a way. Reminds me a whole lot of Samson. But you know, the world wants rock and roll, man. The world loves the world. They chase after the things of the world. And you know, Elvis, in his dilemma, was kind of like Israel that said in Psalms 137, verse 4, how shall we sing the Lord's songs in a strange land? His last day on earth, the testimony of his half-brother, which I was fortunate enough to hear one night watching TBN a long time ago, probably over 25 years ago. Elvis had a half-brother. He gave this testimony. He said, I would go with my half-brother Elvis, and he said, I'd set the stage, get everything ready, and then I'd go get Elvis and bring him down, and he would perform, and then we'd leave. I'd take the stage down, and we'd leave. He said, I was getting the stage ready, and a little girl came up to me, and Arita, that little girl, told Elvis's half-brother, she said, you need Jesus. And Elvis's half-brother went up there to where Elvis was getting ready to come out on stage, and he told his older half-brother, Elvis Presley, he said, a little girl told me, I need Jesus. And he said, his half-brother, Elvis Presley, dropped his head down, and he said, when he raised it back up, he said, tears are dripping off his cheeks. And he said, she told you right. And he said, I left the room with Elvis in there, and he said, my half-brother went into the bathroom and literally committed suicide. He overdosed on drugs, and they found him dead in that bathroom. He didn't want to live no more that life. And that's a sad commentary. It's almost parallel to Samson. Samson didn't want to grind a mill no more for the Philistines. Matter of fact, he'd rather die. He said, Lord, avenge my eyes.
Right.
And in his death, he killed more Philistines than he did in his life. But that's a terrible commentary on anyone. And I'll just promise you this, that there's many volumes of people that are like Samson and like Elvis that the world has used and thrown away. But this text here this morning here, the reason Paul and Silas are in jail, we'll have to back up a little bit here. There's a lot goes on in this chapter right here. But in the previous chapter, verse 16, you got the first convert in Europe, and it don't give her a name. It says a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Now, before this woman with the spirit of divination come, there's another woman named Lydia. She's a seller of purple, and she worshipped God, and she heard Paul and Silas, whose heart the Lord had opened, and she attended unto the things spoken, which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized with her household, she besought them, saying, if you judge me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained them, and it did.
Yeah.
But here, the next event here, you got the first convert in Europe, and it came to pass, may have been Lydia there, but anyway, it said it came to pass, they went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us. It cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Now, this testimony was true, but you know, Paul, he about had enough of that since she'd done that many days of Paul being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her, and he came out the same hour. Now, I'm telling you that, you know, that would be like I said the last time talked about that demonic man. It made a lot of people scared, made a lot of people mad. They saw the loss, the hogs is gone. This man now, he's clothed in his right mind. Yeah. Well, here the same thing. I mean, you think they'd be glad she got this demon out of her. Right. But no, they're mad. And verse 19 says, when her master saw that the hope of their gains were gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them to the marketplace and to the rulers. They brought them out to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison.
Yeah.
Charging the jailer to keep them safely, whom having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Now I'm going to tell you, a lot of things I just said right there probably went over your head, but this woman with this devil, she said these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show us the way of salvation. Now Brother Ed, they wasn't interested in the way of salvation. They're interested in monetary gain.
Yeah.
This woman had made them a lot of money. They're more interested in the money than there was in this maid. They didn't care about her soul. They didn't care about anything like that. They just wanted the things of the world. And you know, the world does chase after the things of the world.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of like, David said, he's like the heart painted after the brook. He said, my soul thirsted for God. But here, you'd think they'd be happy that this devil got cast out of this girl, but they're mad. They beat Paul and Silas. They throw them in jail. The jailer put them in the most secure place in the jail and bound their feet in stocks. Now, these are exceptional men of God, and our preaching really starts right there in verse 25. At midnight. Now, I can't imagine us. I can't imagine any Baptist waking up at midnight singing praises to God, but I mean, it's not impossible. It's not uncommon.
Amen.
Maybe you have.
Right.
I'll tell you one thing. Boy, if there was one worthy to be praised and have a song sung to Him, God is worthy.
Amen.
To be praised.
Right.
And He certainly deserves the reward of His suffering.
Right.
Anytime's a good time to praise
Amen.
Him. I mean, I don't care if it's 2 o'clock in the morning, midnight,
right.
3 o'clock
right.
in the morning, 6 o'clock. I can't sing a lick, but I got a song in my heart.
Right.
Even praise the Lord.
Amen.
But I'll tell you what, they've done what ought to be natural for all of us. Hey, they've been beat. They've been bound. Their feet's bound in fetters. They're locked up in the most secure place in the prison. And read the first thing you want to do, just sing praises to God.
That's right. Amen.
I'm a little jealous.
Yeah, right. Amen.
Hey, well, I like to rub somebody. You ever seen a dog get down and rub another dog trying to, I don't know, I kind of like to do a little bit of that with me.
Yeah.
I like to get a little bit of that on me, you know what I mean?
Right.
I like to have that kind of smell on
right.
me, amen.
Amen.
I mean, that's how I think right there. That's what we're missing today.
Yeah.
I mean, we got to be careful that we don't offend no one. We got to be careful, tiptoe around here and around there. These men didn't care. They sung praises unto God. They've done it at midnight. And guess what, Brother Harvey? The prisoners heard. Can you imagine that? They didn't sing like we do, you know. Yes, Jesus loves me. I mean, they sang. They let it rip, tater, tip. I mean, they let it go, Brother Richard. And said, and the prisoners heard it. Somebody said, you better be careful. Someone might hear you. I want them to hear me.
Yeah.
Hear me. Amen.
Amen.
I ain't got over it yet. I don't expect to ever get over it. I don't know how anybody ever gets over it.
That's
amen.
Right.
Woo! Glory to God. Bam, bam, here they are. Singing the right song. Singing praises to God.
Yeah.
It's a good time. Man, oh man, you never sung your best till you've been beat and you've been bound.
Amen.
That's one thing, sing praises to God, but when you've been beaten and bound, Sister Peter, and you're still saying, woo! Praise the Lord!
Worthy!
The song of His name said, what a blessed honor when you sing that time, buddy. I'll tell you what, you can't get no more pure song than that.
That's right.
I mean, here they are, buddy, they're singing, and the prisoners heard them. Oh my! And you know what? They got an answer. You notice that verse 26? And suddenly, now this didn't just happen.
Yeah. right.
I mean, God's up there in heaven and they're singing praises to him. It's at midnight. The prison heard them. They wouldn't all heard them.
That's right.
God heard them, Brother Ed.
That's right. That's right.
He said, boy, that sounds pretty good to me. I'll just set them free.
Yeah, right.
You know what? I remember David always said to me, for he said,
Amen. That's right.
He came. The Bible said, Luke chapter 4, verse 18, he said, he came to set the captive free.
Right.
I was a drunk for 34 years. Now, I mean, I was 34 years old. I can't say I was drunk for 34 years, but let me tell you something. I was a full blown drunk when I was 34 years old.
Yeah.
It's bigger than me. I couldn't get out of it. I wanted to quit. I didn't like it. I just, you know, I'm kind of like bound, kind of like a slave. Couldn't break the chains. I couldn't get out of it. I done went beyond the turning back. I done passed all that. Now I'm just suffering the effects of it.
Right.
And I come home many times. Rita, I come home drunk, barking like a dog. My good wife give me by the collar and shirt and lead me to the bedroom. And she put me in bed. She shut the door. And right before she shut the door and leave out, Brother Ed, she say, I hope you die.
Amen.
Man, the kids are leaving. If you're here, we'll get back fine. If you ain't, well, I can't say everything she said, but I deserved it. I can tell you that.
Yeah, that's right.
Who would want a house with a drunk
that's right.
I was?
Amen.
Come home, and you got kids, you got a wife, you got a family, and they got to put up with that act.
Yeah.
They got to put up with you acting like an idiot.
That's
and
right.
Somehow trying to hide. Everybody said something about a skeleton in the closet. There was more than a skeleton in the closet. He was walking around. But anyway,
amen.
God here, man, he heard this singing. He said, that's my kind of singer. And he heard these ones doing the singing. He said, that's my kind of singers. He said, I got to applaud that. I'm just going to guess, Brother Mitch. I don't know. Maybe God just said, woo! An earthquake just hit real quick. All I know is one thing, this Sunday there was an earthquake.
Yeah.
Putting you for one right now. Amen.
Yeah,
hey, we're going to make this come. I mean, we get it quick and pretty quickly. Something going on. A whole lot of shaking going on.
Right.
Anyway, I do think that Elvis wrote that song in a wise way. I think he wrote that song as a tribute to God about the jailhouse rock. Now, I know the world like the twisting and the music and the beat and all that right there, but I do believe he was trying to slip in, you know, something to give God glory, and the world not even know it. But anyway, it said, and immediately there was a great earthquake so that the foundation of the prison was shaken immediately. That's one thing about God. Suddenly and immediately.
Yeah.
Those two words right there, boy, those good attributes you can put on God.
Yes, Lord.
He can suddenly save.
That's right.
He can immediately save. Yeah. He can open the doors that are shut. He can close the doors that are open.
Right.
Now, when you read the parable about the 10 virgins, it says suddenly.
Yeah.
The bridegroom showed up.
Yeah.
Five left.
That's right.
Out. Five left behind. And the door was shut. And it don't get open no more. I'm telling you, buddy, I'm glad if it comes, I'm leaving with the wise. The fools left behind, they're just going to have to bear it. That's all I know. But everyone's bands is loose, man. Oh, man, I thank God my bands were loosed.
Mm-hmm.
And here, verse number 27.
Amen.
I only got 3 points here. I'm getting to them. All this, all this foundation. I'll get to it here in a minute.
Yeah, bless him, God.
But Jesus, If he sets you free, you're free indeed, John 8:31.
Right.
And you know something, these prisoners, when they got freed, they didn't flee the prison.
No.
They didn't run.
No,
they didn't try to escape.
That's
you know what they didn't?
Amen.
Well, they run and run.
That's right.
I mean, God sets you free, you ain't running no more.
That's
man,
right.
You're sitting still and you're clothed in your right mind, you're thinking, praise God, I finally got my life back. I'm telling you, these men might have been in trouble, but when they got freed, they didn't flee. They're still here. They've not gone. They've not left the premises. And the reason they didn't is because they were free. But all this commotion woke this jailer up.
Yeah.
And he thought he'd lost his prisoners.
Amen.
He thought the best thing I can do would be just take my life. You know, a lot of the world, they think like that. For some reason or another, the world thinks if I can just end my life, my trouble will be over with. I hate to beg to differ, but the Bible said it's appointed unto man once to die.
Mm-hmm.
Hebrews 9:27. It don't stop there. It says that's what it is.
That's
the judgment. Now everybody is going to die.
Yep.
I just seen on the internet this morning that the man that run the first mile in 4 minutes died. You can't outrun death. David says, but a step between me and death. That's been on my heels forever, Brother Jerry. But you know what? It can't claim no victory no more. It has no more dominion. It can't lay no claim.
When
you hear old Brother Eddie's died, it'd be the biggest lie that's ever been told. Sharon, I'll be more alive than ever. You know what? I used to worry about dying.
Yeah.
I hate to insert this in here real quick, but I think I will. I see how much time I got. No, I better not. It'd take too long to tell it. But I have been at death's door before. And let me tell you something. I had the funniest feeling about death. I never thought I'd ever think about this like death, Sister Rita. I'm at Bowling Green out at the medical center down there, and all I'm having is an MRI done. And, you know, I went down there to have this MRI done. It hurt my back at work, and they wanted to see how bad I hurt it. So I go down there, and this young nurse, she's tending to me, and I'm getting ready to go in this big coffin thing here to get this MRI done. She said, you want to listen to some music while you're in there? You're going to be in there a long time. And man, I just said what both bad men say. I said, no, man, thank you. I said, you wouldn't have any music I'd be interested in. I love the Lord. She said, oh, we can play that kind of music. I said, no kidding. She said, yeah. She put gospel music on. I said, praise the Lord. I put them headphones on. I kid you, brother.
There you go.
I'm about 3 sheets of the Holy Ghost in this tomb in there. And I'm listening to gospel music. I'm making melody in my heart to the Lord. I'm making praise to God in there. And this thing comes and it makes a scan. It kind of warms you up a little bit. Moves a little further, makes a scan, kind of warms you up a little bit. She's got me wired. I mean, I look like Frankenstein. I just hanging on everywhere. Anyway, that thing got about right here.
That's
and it made a click.
Yeah.
And when it did, I got short of breath. And she come in on my gospel music, and she said, Eddie, you all right? I said, yeah, I think I am. She said, well, I'm picking up a few things out here. You think maybe I ought to bring you out for a minute? I said, yeah, you might ought to. So she brings me out. And at this time, I'm really gasping to breathe. I'm having a hard time getting my breath. And she said, are you by yourself? And I said, no, I got my wife with me. She said, you think I ought to go get her? I said, yeah, you might ought to. So she go gets my wife. My good, godly, loving wife, she looks on me and she says, he ain't doing no good. You better call a doctor. So they call this doctor, and this doctor comes back there, and he looks at me and he says, he ain't doing no good. You better dial 911. Boy, what a doctor. Amen? better call for some help. I mean, he must have been one of them so-called doctors. I don't know. But anyway, they call the 911, and they see me, and they said, he ain't doing no good. And they flew in on me, Brother Ed. And I'm not kidding. I can't tell you everything they've done to me, because most of it, I'm sitting there thinking, my God, if I wouldn't die, I'm going to die now for sure.
Yeah.
But they flew in on me, and I mean, they're doing all kinds of things. They're ministering things to me. They've got oxygen masks on me, and I mean, they're working me over like I don't know what. And this little old nurse, still sitting there by my bedside, and I told her, I said, have you ever seen a Christian die? I was convinced I was going to die. And I was having a really hard time getting my breath right then. And she couldn't even answer me. She's shaking like a leaf in autumn wind. She couldn't even answer me. I said, don't leave my bedside. I want to show you what a difference Jesus makes in death. I'm ready to die. I thought I was going to die.
Amen.
So anyway, I'm sitting there, you know, and I'm sitting there thinking, like good saved Baptist thing, I'm thinking, well, I ain't going to have to work no more.
Yeah.
I ain't going to have to worry no more. Man, I'm getting ready to see Jesus. I did really see family members that have gone ahead of me, and I'm thinking, you know, this is pretty good. I mean, the peace of God's still there.
Amen.
The joy of God's still there. I'm not panicked. I've got peace. I never thought about a thing about death like that, Phyllis, but I'm sitting there joy thinking, getting ready to leave out.
Yeah.
Man, I'm getting ready to leave out. I'm getting ready like a snake shedding its skin. I'm getting ready to peel out here, right here. And, you know, I got so far into it, I started quoting Psalms 23.
Well,
I said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He made me lie down in green pastures. He led me beside the still waters. He restored my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord.
Now.
I'm quoting Psalms 23, and I'm getting ready. I mean, I done got 1 foot out.
Right.
Now, I'll just tell you this much, and this is all I know about death. I was coming out of my face. I could actually feel my spirit coming out of my face. And it's like pulling you. your foot out of your shoe. Amen. I mean, my face is crawling. I thought, I'm getting ready to leave. And about that time, my wife jumped up, and here she come. And put a finger in my face, and she said, you got a granddaughter having a birthday this Saturday, and you need to leave her. That's right. Come out of your shoe. She said, him and me both to death. And whatever had hold of me was gone. And I told him, paramedics, I said, I'm fine now. They said, no, you ain't. I said, I'm fine. So I'm taking that stuff off. They said, you can't do that. I said, I'm doing it. They said, you'll have to sign a waiver. I said, well, hand it over. I'll sign. I drove home. That's been 20 years ago.
Amen.
So much for death. Death has no more dominion over us.
No.
We're more than conquerors through him.
Amen.
And saved us. I mean, we get the victory, man.
That's right.
I mean, who is he that'll harm you if God be for you?
That's right.
I mean, look, no weapon formed against me. You can shoot me in the AR 15 49 times.
Yeah.
I'm still going ahead and just
that's
going to get
right.
Working,
yeah.
You can't keep me. I'm going. I'm doing
right.
It there right now.
That's right.
I already said good heavenly
amen.
I'm a citizen of that country.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm of the household of God. I'm telling the glory to God. I'm going home one of these
that's
days.
Right.
Maybe
yeah.
Today. Hallelujah. Woo!
Amen.
Oh, listen. He wanted to commit suicide. He thought that'd fix it. I feel sorry for the world if that's the only cure they got.
Yeah, that's
the truth.
I feel sorry for these people to take an overdose on drugs.
Yeah,
I feel sorry for these people to hang yourself, jump off a building. I feel sorry for them.
That's right.
Well, Jesus
amen.
Offered something better, Sister Rita.
That's right.
He offered them a ham, a nail hole in it.
Said, that's right.
Let me help you.
Come on, man.
I'll help you.
That's right.
Boy, you turn that hand down.
Right.
No wonder you want to commit suicide.
Yeah.
Oh, my. This jailer here, he wanted to commit suicide. He thought they was all gone, and Paul cried out, we're all here. Then with a light, jailer said, I've got to see this to believe it. He came in trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. Now here's my message right here. It's simple. He came to the right one.
That's right.
You can't just go anywhere. I thank God,
that's
Sister
right.
Rita,
amen.
I didn't stumble in Kingdom Hall. I thank God I didn't stumble into a Mormon church.
Yeah.
I thank God that
right.
I ended up somehow
amen.
Coming into a Bible-believing,
yeah,
Bible-preaching,
go.
Fundamental, good,
that's
solid
right.
Baptist
amen.
Church
amen.
And heard the truth.
Yeah,
you can't
right.
Just go anywhere.
No.
You got to be careful where you
that's
go.
Right.
You got to be careful
that's
who
right.
You hear.
That's right.
Look,
that's
Brother
right.
Mitchell, he came
that's
to the right,
right.
Yeah.
He came to the right one.
He asked the right question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen.
Some people, they don't go to the right ones. They don't ask the right questions.
That's right. Amen.
You know what? They don't get nothing.
That's right.
He came to the right ones.
Mm-hmm.
He asked the right question.
That's
and you
right.
Know what?
Amen.
He got the right answer.
Yeah, right.
You know that's important.
Amen.
You know, we pitch horseshoes, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
My dad, he's a horseshoe pitcher, and his horseshoe pitching was kind of a flip. But my uncle, Keith Wallace, he pitched one that kind of made it spin, and it'd go like this. He'd grab the stop and go around and come down.
Yep.
My other uncle, Laydell, he pitched a kind of slider, you know, kind of slide toward the stop.
Mm-hmm.
Well, listen, that's pitching horseshoes.
Mm-hmm.
You got to ring the stop. Now, I know you get a later, that's 3 points, and you get so close, that's 1 point. But in salvation, you can't be the almost eyes persuaded
that's
Christian.
Right.
You got to be all the way.
Amen.
He came
right.
To the right one. Woo! He asked the right question.
Woo!
He got the right answer. Glory to God. He got saved. And all his house got saved. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hey, listen, he didn't just get saved. He had the right desires now. He washed their stripes.
Yeah, that's right.
Man, he locked them up.
Right.
Now, Brother Mitchell, he's washing their stripes.
Yeah.
He's
right.
Feeling bad about putting
right.
His boys in prison.
I
hear him now. I'm sorry,
right.
Boys.
Yeah.
I didn't know what to know now.
Right.
Boy, Jesus makes a difference.
Yeah, he makes a
difference. He made a difference
right.
In me.
He does.
I thank God for that difference.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm like Paul was a blasphemer person
right.
Here in just
oh,
the
yeah.
Church, but now praise God I'm a follower of Jesus.
Amen.
Man,
right.
He's got the right desire now. He's washing our stripes. Hey, man. Hey, listen. He fed them.
Yeah.
I'm Baptist. I'm all for eating. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now, that's one of the things I love about being saved. You get to eat here and there too. We're going to sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb.
Yeah.
Hey, we're going to sup with Him.
Yeah.
Hey, glory to God. That's going to be a wonderful thing. But look here, He rejoiced. You see that? He rejoiced believing in God with all His house.
That's right.
He's now... He was the prisoner, really.
Yeah.
They was more free than he was, Brother Ed.
Yeah, that's right.
Now he's free.
Yeah, amen.
I've been in Mexican security prisons, and I tried to talk to them being in there. And I said, the greatest prison is not concrete and steel.
Mm-mm.
I said, the greatest prison is sin.
That's right.
I said, it'll keep you longer than you want to stay.
Right.
Hey,
amen.
It'll cost you to pay more than you want to pay. And I'll tell you what, buddy, it'll never let you free. But Jesus...
Right.
Jesus came.
That's right.
That was to set us free.
Yeah.
And I've been set free. And anybody that like this jailer here can be set free if you just
that's
go to
right.
the right one.
That's right.
That's exactly.
You know what
right.
he said? He said,
amen.
Sirs, what must I do
yes.
to be saved? Their answer was simple.
Yes.
It's simple, Brother
right.
Hardy.
Yeah.
They didn't give no theological answer. They said, believe on the Lord Jesus
right.
Christ.
Right.
That's right. Amen.
I went to a nursing home one time, Sister Carolyn. I went reluctantly. I've been to this man's house, I don't know how many times. I've been to this nursing home, talked to him almost how many times. He just turned and looked at the wall. He'd act like he wasn't even there. He didn't want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And he's dying. And I done give up on him.
Right.
The family called me, would you go see him one more time?
Right.
I didn't really want to go, Brother Mitch, I'll be honest with you. I didn't really want to go.
That's
but I fought the flesh, the devil, and I went down there, and the devil hit me. Phyllis, I'm going down the hall in the nursing home. The devil said, you waste your time. You know you're busy, you got things you need to do. And I walked down that hall, and I opened up that door, and I saw this man there laying in the bed, and he stretched out his hand, it done turned black.
Oh.
Hardly know who it is. Leroy Wilson. Leroy Wilson, taxidermist down there next to the Bear River State Park. Leroy Wilson. And I said, Leroy, are you ready to get saved? He said, yes, I am.
Amen.
I said, well, Leroy, I'm going to tell you how simple it is. I quoted to him St. John chapter 1, verse 12.
Mm-hmm.
I said, Leroy, the Bible said, as many as received him,
that's right.
to them Amen. Gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe upon his name. I said, Leroy, are you ready to believe? He said, yes, I am.
I mean,
tears trickling everywhere.
Amen.
I said, well, let me pray with you. I prayed with him. I said, now, Leroy, you've got to ask him yourself.
That's right.
You've
right.
got to believe
Amen.
Yourself. I can't ask him for you. I can't believe for you.
That's
you got to
right.
ask the Lord
Amen.
Jesus to forgive you sin.
Amen.
You got to believe him to do it. And you got to receive
right.
him by faith.
Right.
And then you got to know yourself
right.
that you're saved.
Right.
And it's a wonderful
Amen.
Thing. Boy, I never forget how that room lit up. Oh, 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 oh.
Hey,
he said, I mean, he didn't live 2 weeks. I've got a picture of my brother. He didn't live 2 weeks after that. You know, Job said he's saved by the skin of his teeth. And I ain't got a whole lot of skin on my teeth. I ain't got a whole lot of enamel on my teeth. I ain't got very many teeth left. I'll tell you one thing. Anyway, getting in, that thief on the cross didn't have
Amen.
All day long. He just had about an hour.
That's right.
That's it.
Amen.
I'll tell you what, any time's a good time to get saved.
Amen.
There ain't no bad time.
Amen.
It's always a good time. You know, the Bible said today
is the day.
Is the day of salvation, Rita.
Salvation.
Now's accepted time.
That's
today
right.
you hear his voice hardening out your heart.
Right.
It's an urgent matter. That's why God says now is the accepted time. This jailer, praise God. I'm glad God put that in there, Rita.
Amen.
He heard all that commotion that cannot get in on that nation circle, won't he?
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
We got to get some. I got to run some out on this.
That's right. Come on now. That's right.
We got to get some out on this,
yeah.
Amen. Get that in love, Rita. Go outside. Gets over it.
Amen.
And I for sure ain't never going to be.
That's right.
But I'm glad I got more God than I need.
Amen.
I'm glad he's ready, Brother Jerry. If need be, he'd come get me right now.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm ready to leave out right now.
Yeah.
Amen. Father, we thank you for the privilege to preach your word.
Yeah.
We thank you for the great treasures, the great truths that's in it. We do well to take heed. Well, to give the most earnest heed to your word, lest at any time we let it slip. Help us, I pray, to be faithful, to read it, to heed it, to be doers, not hearers only. And Lord, if there's anything that needs to be done here today, I certainly don't know. I'm just a messenger boy, but if anything needs to be done here today, I pray to be done by the hand of God, by the help of the Holy Spirit. And we'll give you praise and glory for whatever's done in Jesus' name. Amen. Get Brother Jerry, y'all stand please. We'll give a short invitation. Get Brother Jerry, if you would please. Maybe Sister Sharon, help him out there. Like I said, I don't know if he may not need to do nothing. But if you do need to do something, we give you an opportunity right here.